Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Imagine if your sister or your mother or an aunt went missing, but no one ever knew what happened or even kept a record of it. That is often the case on tribal reservations across the country. The Bureau of Indian Affairs reports that rates of violence on reservations can be 10 times higher than the national average, but records of those crimes are scattered at best, and often there are no records at all. A journalist who grew up on the Navajo Nation has long wondered why we don't know more about murdered and missing Indigenous women. So now, Chelsea Curtis is building a database to track these stories with the nonprofit newsroom Arizona Luminaria. And she joins us now. Chelsea, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is remarkable, these holes that you describe in the data, because you would think we would know exactly how many women have gone missing from any given community. Why don't we?
You know, that's a tough question to answer. I think a lot of Indigenous people for a long time have felt this lack of care about what happens to them and their communities. They were moved to reservations, and it seems like a lot of times they were forgotten on those reservations. The data for this kind of falls into that category, unfortunately.
So here you are with a potential solution. You are building a database. Tell me about the project and what you plan to do with this information as you find it.
I hope to create a database of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirit, and transgender people in Arizona. And the goal with having this database is to be able to find trends. Hopefully those trends can help communities form solutions. Most importantly, what I want to accomplish is humanizing those numbers. And I hope to do that by writing in-depth profiles about some of the families that I come across through this data that I'm looking for. Being able to highlight who they are beyond the terrible tragedy that happened to them, and to give Indigenous families a platform to share the stories about their loved ones, stories I know many people want to tell and haven't had a chance to, and bring more attention to a loved one's case and possibly answers.
So as you say, you're trying to tell the stories of these women and in some cases even children. You've published the first profile today, in fact, of one of the families that you met through this project. What can you tell me about Rhea Almeida?
Rhea was a 7-year-old girl. Her family had just moved to Ajo in 2009. She was about to enter second grade. She was very lively, kind. She loved being outdoors. She was the only girl in their family at the time. She was going to visit a friend just down the street from where she lived, and she instead was murdered that day. And it's really impacted her family all these years later.
The community where they lived, you mentioned Ajo, it's near the U.S.-Mexico border. You wrote that her mother got involved in this issue of murdered and missing Indigenous women after Rhea died. Why do you think she wanted to tell her story and share it with you?
Yeah, so Ajo is near the Mexico border. It also borders Thana-Otham Nation, which is where Elaine is from and her family's from. They are citizens of Thana-Otham Nation. After her daughter's passing, she came across a grassroots community organization that also happened to be interested in focusing on MMIW too. She felt it was destiny and that she was called to this group, and for the first time started really sharing her story. I think for her, sharing that story has become healing. She says the more that she shares it, even though it's hard, she feels like she heals a little bit more. As a part of that, she talks about how she was able to get justice, and she thinks that is largely due to the fact that the crime didn't happen on tribal nations. It happened in Pima County, and she was afforded certain services that she says isn't always guaranteed to families on tribal nations.
Is that part of the challenge here, that if someone goes missing or is murdered on a tribal reservation or on tribal land somewhere across the United States, that it's difficult to have the resources to investigate properly?
That is what I'm hearing from the people that I'm speaking with. But it is common in the conversations that I'm having that there is this lack of resources and support for a lot of these families, and they just feel, again, unheard and untaken care of.
What about you? I can tell this is tough to talk about. I said you grew up on the Navajo Nation. Have these stories that you've been hearing, well, how have they been settling with you on a personal level?
They're difficult. They really are. It feels a lot closer to home because in some of the people that I've met, I can see resemblances to people in my family, to stories that I grew up experiencing myself. And so, you know, I just empathize so much with their stories.
Has this issue touched your family at all?
So my grandma's brother has been missing since they were kids. I don't know the exact story behind it. My grandparents unfortunately passed away several years ago, and it wasn't something that they talked about a lot. And obviously it happened before I was born, so I never knew who the brother was. It came up in conversation sometimes, but it happened so long ago that it was like, there's no, where do you go from here to finding those answers now, this many years later, after relatives have passed and the stories haven't necessarily been passed down too.
Chelsea Curtis is a journalist with the nonprofit newsroom Arizona Luminaria, creating a database of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.